Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 17. I'm going to read the last nine verses of that chapter, and then we will kind of just close out by referring to those. Tonight's lesson is on a paper that says what to bring to camp. Some people were confused and you thought it was a list for the teenagers and the campers that were coming, but that's your handout. It's on a half a sheet of paper, okay? So if you don't have one of those, raise your hand real high. There's several, all right? Somebody help Brother David get those. John, will you help Brother David back there hand those out for me? Kenny, can you go help him too? Just keep your hands up. We'll make sure everybody gets one of those, and we'll pass those out to you right now, right quick. Tonight, it's going to be more topical than exegetical. We're just kind of talking about some things that we need to shore up and bring to camp, all right? This is for everybody, not just for the campers, but everybody who gets involved in our camp and our nightly services. I just want to encourage us tonight on what God might just want to do in our lives this coming week of camp. Praise the Lord. Just to remind you, prayer meeting in the morning for the ladies at 10. Youth prayer at camp at 7 o'clock on Friday evening. Parents, please come and we will all pray together. Singles, young marrieds, if you'd like to join us as well. We just want to pray for about an hour or so out at camp that God would just meet with us during the next week. Men's prayer at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. And camp will be our place, our venue for service on Sunday evening at 6:30. Praise the Lord. So just a lot of things going on, but praise the Lord. God's going to meet with us at every single one of those events. Trust and He will. Exodus chapter number 17, verses 8 through 16. Again, we will refer to these scriptures here in a few minutes. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go fight. And go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up the top to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Pray with me if you will. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the power of your word. And we pray tonight that you would just minister to us, Lord, throughout the lesson. Speak to us, God, I pray. Encourage each one. Help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts for what you want to do in the coming days of Camp Blessing. We love you, Jesus. And everyone said amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. What to bring to camp. One thing I've learned as a youth pastor is that you have to repeat yourself over and over and over again. Actually, pretty much as a parent, you have to repeat yourself. In work, in life, a lot of times you have to keep repeating yourself before somebody finally gets the message. I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody come up to me and say, I didn't know this event was happening. Well, if you would have, one, listened, you would have known. If you would have, two, read the posters all around the church, you would have known. And number three, if you would have been to church, you would have known. Or they say, what time does it start? Well, we start the same time every week. I mean, I didn't know Sunday school started at 10. Well, I mean, it's since the beginning of time we've started, you know. I mean, people just sometimes, I remember one time the pastor, not here at another church, he was making an announcement. One of the elder ladies in the church said, you didn't announce this. And he was like, I just did. I mean, it was just, I don't know if she couldn't hear or what, but sometimes things happen and with the there's confusion. So in an effort to help out our parents and teens for the camp season, we create a list. You know, it says what to bring to camp. And it's in bold letters. Anybody seen that one? Hopefully you have. I've learned myself to kind of to take that list, and whenever we're going out of town and we have to make sure the kids know what to bring, I try to attach that list to the permission slip. And that way they have no excuse not to bring what they need to camp. But you know what, Sister Cooper? A lot of times I get that list back with the permission slip. I don't know what happened. But on those lists, there's some fundamental items that everyone should always bring to camp or to an event without much thought. You know, things like deodorant, praise the Lord, and a toothbrush, and soap, amen, socks, clean underwear, a Bible, right? Bring your pillow. Bring a blanket. Bring a sleeping bag. You know, bring something. Bring money. A lot of times we have to have extra money. Bring a towel. Praise the Lord. But without fail, somebody always forgets something. I mean, every time we go down to Dayton for winter warm-up, somebody forgets a towel. And I don't know about you, but I don't share my towel with nobody. That's disgusting, okay? And so we always try to figure out, sometimes somebody will bring an extra towel. Usually there's a way to find a towel. Sometimes we just make them dry off with paper towels. I mean, it gets kind of crazy. The other day, somebody forgot a pillow. Ben, you still have your pillow? All right, good. We had to make a trip to Walmart, and Walmart has cheap pillows. If you ever need a cheap pillow, go to Walmart. About $3, $4, $5, you got a pillow. Praise the Lord. Somebody leaves something in the car. Without fail, it happens. And you know what? It's always comical. We always make it a joke. It's not really aggravating because, I mean, they're the ones that are doing without, not me. You know what I'm saying? But we try to take care of them. We make sure they've got the blanket they need. We make sure they got the pillow they need. And we try to find a place if they need to make a purchase. They can buy everything that they need. And hang on a second. I got this hanky tonight because I was drowning in my own spit on Sunday. So hang on a minute. I got to learn how to use this thing. See, I almost talked in my hanky. This is not my normal practice. But in all serious though tonight, look at your handout. I got a few things for you to bring to camp, spiritually speaking. I just want to share with you just a few things. And it applies to you whether you're a camper, a worker, a counselor, a parent, a visitor, whoever you are, if you come to camp, these are four things that you need to bring with you just so we can have a good week in the presence of the Lord. Are y'all ready? Number one, bring a desire to receive something from God. Bring with you to camp a desire to receive something from the Lord. David said in Psalm chapter 27, verse number 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." You know, when you go shopping, the most beneficial shopping experiences are usually the ones where you have a goal in mind of something that you're going to get. You go in there with a desire. I don't know about you, but when I go into a store without any kind of goals, a lot of times I leave there with something I don't need. I leave there with something that's just going to be wasted. But if I go in there with a desire to get one item or two items or three items or a list of items, I can leave there with a joy in figuring out that I've met my goal and I've crossed it off the list because I got just what I needed. You know, when you go to camp this week, you need to go there with an intense desire for it. Maybe one thing, maybe two things. I don't know what they might be, but a desire to receive something from the Lord. Can I hear an amen? You know, camp time, it's not just for the teenagers. It's not just for the junior campers. It's for all of us at our church. It's for everybody who comes in. You know, last year, while we were having one of the junior services, or not the junior services, the teen services during the day, this man came up. He had a man bun. He was a different looking fellow. I knew he wasn't there for church. And so I went up to him and I said, "What can I help you with?" And he was trying to sell us something. He just out of all the weeks of the year, all the days, he picked that day to come out there and to do. He was trying to get some information for an electric company or something like that. And so I talked to him, and he talked to me, and he stuck around for a while, and he actually stuck around for part of that teen service. And at the end of that service, Brother Sparks, that man came up to the front of the church and wanted to get prayed for by the preacher. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God was dealing with his heart on the campground. He may not have come expecting that, but he came there with, there must have been a desire in his heart, a need that he needed something from the Lord. He needed God to meet, and God was there to meet him. Praise the Lord. You know, if you'll come this week, whether you're a parent or a teen, whether you're a volunteer or just coming for the church service at night because you want to experience revival, amen, come this week with a desire to get something from the Lord. Hallelujah. David said, "I have one thing that I truly desire, and that one thing is what I'm going to set my mind to seeking God for, and I'm going to seek Him with all of my heart." Listen, if you've got that desire, maybe tonight we've got a few who need to be filled with the Holy Ghost this week. Starting tonight, let God know, "God, this is my desire. I want you to meet me here and fill me with the Spirit." Maybe you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Well, make that your desire. God, I'm not going to leave the altar until I get refilled with your Spirit. Maybe your desire this week is going to be an anointing or a deeper walk. Maybe you need a burden for the lost, or maybe you want to see your lost loved ones come in. Or maybe, you know what, camp is a big time for backsliders to come in. They love to come back to camp. They get nostalgic. They think about the times God moved in their hearts. They come so they can see their friends, and so they can hang out for a few minutes with their friends who used to come to camp. Praise the Lord. Maybe this week, maybe somebody in here can make it their desire and their burden to pray for the backslider that comes on the campground, and we can see them saved. Amen. And God can recall them. Amen. Oh, maybe you need direct. Maybe you just want God to revive your home or revive your heart. Maybe you need restoration in some relationships. Maybe you need a physical healing. Maybe your desire is to see miracles or to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Whatever your desire is, bring it this week to camp and set your mind to seeking for it. Praise the Lord. Don't just bring your desires, but number two, bring an expectation to each service to receive something from the Lord. David again said in Psalm chapter 62 verse 5, he said, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." You know, there is something powerful about an expectation in the service. There is some, when you expect something to happen, it seems like you have some kind of a patience, you know, a greater patience in waiting for it, that you want that expected thing to come, and so you're able to push through and just wait until it happens because you're just expecting something great. Expectation, listen to me tonight, expectation and anticipation, those things do not make God move. But one thing I've realized in my life, when I'm anticipating a move of God and I'm expecting a move of God, it causes me to wait and to linger in His presence a little while longer. When I am expecting Him to come by, you know, there are times, I don't know if you ever feel this or not, but there are times on Sunday you wake up and you're like, "Man, God is going to move. And I can feel it." There are times when you get ready for church on Sunday afternoon and you're like, "Man, you know, I just feel it. God's going to move." And you come in here with an expectancy and a fervency and an urgency, and the Lord doesn't disappoint us. Expectation, it helps us to wait and to linger, but it also, it gives us a hope that something beneficial will eventually happen. You know, if the disciples and those in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, if they had not had had an expectation of receiving the promise of the Holy Ghost that God had given to them, then I don't believe they would have lasted for 10 days in the upper room praying and seeking after the Lord for the promise of the Holy Ghost. But in their hearts, they had received the promise with faith, and they expected that God was able to perform the very thing that He said He would perform. And so they waited for the Holy Ghost. You know what? This week, don't get in a hurry. Just come into the church services, in the teen service, in the night service, in the junior service, and expect God to move. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if you read through the Gospels, you discover pretty quick that people follow Jesus because they expected to receive something from Him, or they expected to see something extraordinary from Him. Listen, when we go into camp this week, let's expect to see the things that God has promised us that we could receive. Let's expect to see signs and wonders. Let's expect to see these things. You know, God has promised us in His Word that we can see healings. Can I hear an amen? He promised us in His Word that He will pour out His Spirit upon our sons and our daughters. Hallelujah. He promised us in His Word that when we ask of Him, He'll give us the desires and the needs that we have. He said in His Word that if we come to Him, we will find rest. He also said in His Word that He can do things and pour blessings out that we cannot contain. His Word is a revelation that we serve a God who moves, and a God that we can expect to move. So bring an expectation with you this week to camp. Number three, bring a heart that is ready to receive something from the Lord. I got a desire, and I'm expecting God to move, but I need to make sure my heart is ready to receive something from God. And you know, that's something you can do tonight. While we're going to pray here in a few minutes around the front, we're going to have some time to pray. And when we do, you need to just come up here and make sure my heart is right with the Lord. Make sure my heart is inclined to the Lord. What is a heart that is ready to receive? Look at your handout. It is a heart that is open to the things of God and is right with God. Hallelujah. You know, I've seen it happen throughout the week of camp. There'll be several people who come in there and their hearts are just kind of hard, and they're not really expecting God to do much with them. But throughout the week, the Lord will begin to soften their hearts. Amen. About the second night or the third day, you see them in the altars, and they got their eyes closed, and they have a little bit more of an intense look on their face. And by Wednesday night, the Holy Ghost is moving on everybody, and those kids who they came in there with a heart of stone, they're weeping in the presence of the Lord because their heart is receiving the thing that God is ready to pour into them. So come this week, having already prepared your heart. I know some of you will this week. You'll come ready, praise God, to be used of God. Come ready to be moved upon by the Lord. Come ready to receive with a ready heart. A heart that is ready to receive is also a heart that is free from all distractions or removed from all distractions. You know, distractions will cause you to miss a lot of things. I was talking with Brother Tim about something like that the other day. We were just talking about how sometimes our kids will come up to us and want us to do something, play with them. And if you're not careful, you can be distracted and miss that moment. Distractions will cause you to miss some things in the presence of the Lord. And that's one of the reasons we take the cell phones away for that week. And we don't let them bring electronic devices and play on the video games and whatnot for 3 or 4 days. Why? Because if they can become unattached for just a few days from the social media and from the things of this world, amen, they can get an experience with God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but these things are a big distraction. They are, aren't they? I mean, even I'll confess to you, sometimes I get distracted by my cell phone. You know, I'll be praying and somebody will send me a text. Somebody will give me a call. Somebody, you know, and it can become a distraction. But all this week, come with a heart that is removed from all distractions. You know, Camp Blessing is a place for our teenagers and junior campers and all of you who come in there to get alone with God. Even though you might be surrounded by many other people, and even though there's going to be a lot of people on that campground, all throughout the week next week, there's going to be some moments when you can just get alone with God. And you come with that heart that's removed from all distractions. Don't be thinking about the things going on next the week after camp. Don't be thinking about the boyfriend and the girlfriend. Don't be thinking about the problems at the job. But just come with a heart that's ready to receive. You know, in the upper room, we're going back to that story here by way of illustration. But in the upper room, that was a place for those 120 to get away from all the distractions. I don't know if you realize it. You probably did because some of you are smarter than me. But those people were gathered in Jerusalem for the feast. They were gathered together to see family and to uphold traditions. I mean, there was a lot of people gathered in there at that time. And no doubt, some of those people in the upper room, they had family that was reuniting. And they had people who were expecting meals. And they had people at their houses. But they shut the doors on all of the distractions. Why? Because there was a higher calling and a higher purpose. And God wanted to do a greater thing in their lives. And they had ever experienced. And so they shut the door there in the upper room and they sought the promise of the Lord. You know, David said in Psalm chapter 57, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." You know what that means? That means, yes, my heart is established, but it also means that my heart is prepared. Oh, come to camp this week with a prepared heart, ready to receive from the Lord. The third thing about that heart, it's a heart that is void of worldly attachments. It's a heart that is void of worldly attachments. Praise God. Oh, if just for a week, every single one of these teens, and I hope you intercede on their behalf, of just for a week, they can just detach themselves from the friends that are bringing them down. If they can detach themselves from the toxic video games and the toxic shows and the toxic music, if you as a parent and you as a volunteer can detach yourselves from the things that this world is trying to mingle you with and trying to tie you up with, what can God do? Amen. He can do some mighty things in our services and in our lives. Finally, tonight, bring to camp hands that are ready to help. Hallelujah. Bring a desire, bring an expectation, bring a heart that is ready to receive, and bring hands that are ready to help. And this point is not an exhortation to our volunteers to be hard workers, but we do want you to be hard workers. It's not an exhortation, but I will exhort the teens for a second. Teenagers, guys, look at me. Ladies, look at me. If your counselor needs your help, you help them. If we need help setting up chairs, you do it. You be the first one there in the tabernacle straightening up those chairs. If you played basketball, don't throw the ball away and go get a glass of water. You straighten those chairs up first. Come on, Brother Don, help me now. Amen. Guys, don't go talk to the girls before you help. You can find you a wife after you set up a chair. She's watching you. She's going to see you. But what I want to exhort you to tonight is this. Be ready. Be ready. Hallelujah. To help hold those kids' hands up in the air. Be ready to lay hands on them and pray with them. Be ready to push them into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Teenagers, be ready to help your friend pray through to the Holy Ghost. Be ready to bring a hand that's ready to help. You know, in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, if you'd like to turn there, we'll refer to there here now. But in chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, there's that story of when Moses was up on the hill and he was lifting his hands and the people of Israel were fighting Amalek. And when Moses held up the rod, Joshua and the men, they prevailed against the enemy. But when Moses got tired and he put his hands down to rest, the people of Amalek prevailed. And those Amalekites, they represent evil or flesh or the enemy. That spiritual battle that we have to fight on a daily basis. And Moses told Joshua, remember who Joshua is. He's the young future leader of the people of Israel. He's not the man of the hour yet. But he's the one that God is preparing to take over the mantle. And Moses told Joshua, "Joshua, go get some chosen men and take them to the battle." And so Joshua, the young man, he goes to battle against the fleshly Amalekites. He goes to battle to fight that warfare. Yes, it was a physical battle, but it was also representative of a spiritual war. And Moses' job on that day is he told Joshua, "Joshua, I'm going up to the hill with the rod of the Lord." And he went up there with that rod, and you know, it just said it, and he began to lift that thing up there. And as he lifted up that staff, there was power, that God was doing mighty things. He was doing exploits, amen, in that battlefield. When Moses kept his hands up, there was great victory being won. But when the hands went down, the battle turned in the enemy's favor. I want you to know tonight, this week at Camp Blessing, we cannot afford to let anybody settle for a half victory. We cannot afford to settle for just a tear. And just to settle for somebody speaking in tongues. We need to pray them through to total victory. Can I hear an amen? We have got to have an intense meeting of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And fire stirring our hearts and changing our lives. And I'll tell you why. The Lord burdened my heart with this today. Because we've seen it. And this will be my sixth camp leading us in the charge in some of those activities. And I've seen so many young men and women cry tears and speak in tongues and shout and do a dance that don't come to church anymore. Why? Because even though God moved on them at camp, they did not get the total victory over the things in their lives. They weren't able to break up with that boyfriend and that girlfriend. They weren't able to pray through and say yes to the call of God. They settled for a partial victory and a partial taste. Oh, but can I implore upon you as our elders and our parents and those of you who are volunteering as counselors, let's be like Aaron and Hur and say, "No, Moses, we can't be done. Joshua, we can't be done. Listen, Brother Don, don't let your boys leave the altar after 10 minutes of praying. No, you say, hey, you're staying down here until I know you got victory over drugs and victory over pornography and victory over cussing. Amen. I'm not letting you leave until you got victory." Hallelujah. Aaron and Hur did what was necessary to ensure that the battle would be won. They got the stone and they put it under Moses and they said, "Sit here, Moses." Then they got on either side, Brother Tim, and they held his hands up. Amen. And they said, "We're going to make sure that we win this battle. We're going to make sure that our kids and Joshua and those who are fighting, we're going to make sure that they get the victory." Oh, can I ask you tonight, can I ask you to commit this week to have your hands ready to help in whatever area you need? We might need you to lead us in the praise. We might need you just to come up and lay hands on some of the young people. We might need you just to go lasso them up after they start running out after prayer time's over. I don't know, but we gotta keep them in the altars as long as we can. We gotta keep them fighting until the battle's done, and we need you to do that. Hallelujah. The battle can't be won partially. It's got to be won completely. Let's keep them in the altars. Let's come with hands ready to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come with a heart that's already prayed up. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand together. Sister Jones, will you come to the piano? I firmly believe, and I'm not just saying this, they have to win the battle this year. They have to win the battle this year. I was talking to Joel today about how this might be our last Camp Blessing. Jesus might come back. He might. He might come back during Camp Blessing. And they've got to win. They've got to win. Amen. We can't lose anymore. We can't. Now, I don't know if y'all heard that. We can't lose anymore. Those of you, listen to me, just let me be straight with some of you parents. You've got kids who don't go to church today because they didn't pray through and win the battle. Your kids are on drugs, they're divorced, they're messed up in their lives. Why? Because they settled for a partial taste. Please, please, this week, You make sure you help these kids pray through. And I thought about this, and this is not what our normal practice is, I don't think, all the time at Camp Blessing. But I want you, if I could, let me ask you, get in the altars behind these kids. Don't just sit on your seat and pray with them from a distance. And that's fine. If you can't get up there, I know. I understand. We got several who it's hard for them to get up and move around. I understand that. And I appreciate you praying wherever you can. But if you are able, please, 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 get in there and pray with them. I can't tell you how many times I've been encouraged just knowing an adult came up to me when I was a young man and put their arm around me and prayed with me. There was a man at OBI that when I was 16, they have a camp down there called Camp Penile. And I went to that camp when I was 16. I didn't know very many people at all. And this man came up. His name is Brother Stoner. He's dead. He died of cancer a few years back. Brother Stoner came up to me. And I don't know if he asked somebody my name. I don't know if he remembered my name. But I was just seeking the Lord. And he said, "Come on, Brother Kenny." I know Kenny's not my name, but it's close enough. And he called me that forever from then on. But he was praying for me. Hallelujah. And in that moment, I realized, God, I know you got something for me tonight. Amen. And I'm going to seek your face. Hallelujah. And when we pray tonight, we're going to come around the front and pray together if we can. But I want you just to seek God for a couple things here. I want us to agree together for the type of experience like Joshua had when he battled against Amalek. And let me tell you, let me refer to verse 14 here real quick. The Lord told Moses, he said, "Write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." God told Moses, "Moses, today is a day Joshua needs to remember. Don't you let him forget what I did for him." And I'm praying this week at camp, God gives so many of us, me included, an experience that we won't forget at Camp Blessing. So I want us to agree together for God to do those things this week. But also, I want to just appeal to you tonight. If you need God just to do some things in your heart to prepare you to receive what He wants you to have, do that tonight. Do that tonight. Maybe there's some things, some of you teenagers, maybe there's some things that have kind of transpired over the last couple weeks and you might just feel a little bit distant from the Lord. Well, tonight, let's make that a memory and get right with God and let the Lord start pouring that blessing into our hearts and lives. Amen. If we could, let's just come and find us a place to pray around the front tonight. Lord, do a work in us. Lord, do a work at us, and I can't bless you. Lord, do a work in my heart. Do a work, God, in my kids. Do a work, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Get involved.
That's something I can do.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you singles, some of you young marrieds, you've been to camp and your time there is done, and you need to pray for this generation of campers to get an experience. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I can pray.